Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially verses 17 and 18. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. And so Jesus, the one shepherd, the unlike any other shepherd, our shepherd, he begins to tell us about himself as the shepherd. And at the first verse of the text today, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is the reason why he is a one-of-a-kind shepherd, because no other shepherd goes out in the morning to shepherd the sheep, planning to die that day. In fact, it's true of all other walks of life. Nobody goes into work that day saying, I'm going to die. I'm going to die for the sheep, or I'm going to die for the wheat crop, or I'm going to die for the car that I'm fixing, or the mail that I'm delivering. Nobody does that. But this shepherd, well, he begins his work right from the beginning with that plan in mind. So I ask you, when was it that it was first set in place that Jesus would come into the world to be the good shepherd and die for the sheep? Before the beginning of anything, before the first dust of the world, before the first second of time ticked off. And you can picture it this way. God the Father saying to his Son, my Son, though you are God, though you exist in all eternity, though the universe cannot contain you, you hold all things in your hands, though you are the one that spoke and light began, and all of that, are you willing then? Are you willing to step down from this eternal existence, to set aside the throne and the angel choirs and all of the wonderful stuff? Are you willing to be born? And what does that mean? That God, who is beyond all things and holds all things together, then takes the form of a little baby to be held and fed and warmed, that God Almighty, the second person of the Trinity, then needs to have his diapers changed? Yeah, we went there, didn't we? This is how extreme the stepping down actually is. And God the Father says to his Son, my Son, are you willing to do this? And he used the line from the hymn, yes, Father, yes, most willingly. And he comes into the world. Are you willing then to grow up as a human being, to have to be obedient to parents who in his case actually knew less than he did? To be obedient to parents, and when you begin your ministry, then to spend 40 days out in the wilderness fasting and praying, and to actually be tempted, to put all at risk to face temptation. You willing to do that? Yes, Father. Yes, most willingly. Are you willing, as you go around preaching and teaching and doing miracles, to be lied about and slandered and called names? Are you willing to go to the garden and to pray with sweat like great drops of blood, to be arrested and spit on and mocked and ridiculed? Are you willing to do that? Yes, Father. Yes, most willingly. Are you willing to then go to the cross, to be nailed to those pieces of wood and bleed out your blood. And though you are God and though you are eternal, to then give up your life, to surrender your soul into death. Are you willing to do that? Yes, Father. Yes, most willingly. So the plan of salvation is planned out. It's described through the Old Testament. And Jesus begins to put the plan in place and to carry it out. And he is the Good Shepherd. Why does he do this? Why does he come into the world? Why does he bear this human nature with all of the weaknesses and troubles of this human nature? You know what the answer is? Because he's the Good Shepherd. Because the Good Shepherd is going to go where his sheep are, to find them, to bring them back, to rescue them. That's what it means to be the Good Shepherd. And there's more. Because this Good Shepherd says, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." What is this? And what you have is set side by side two images. Jesus on the cross, suffering and dying for the world, for all those in the world. And on the cross, crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus being forsaken on the one hand. And then on the other hand, what he says here, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." At the same moment as God is turning away from Jesus and forsaking him, turning his back on Jesus on the cross, at the same time, God is saying, "This is my Son." Echoes of words spoken at Jesus' baptism. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Or echoes from the Mount of Transfiguration. "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." You see, the plan of salvation originates in the heart of God the Father, who does not want us to be lost, to depart from him, and to be gone forever. And so the plan of salvation is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And God the Father asks his Son Jesus, "Will you do this? Will you bring salvation to them?" And Jesus comes willingly to seek us out, to be the Good Shepherd and to bring us back and restore us. But there's more. Tuesday mornings we've been studying through the letter to the Hebrews, and there's this commentary by Franz Delitzsch. He wrote it in German. The German part got translated to English. The Greek and the Hebrew and the Latin and the Aramaic and there's one other that he drops on you. Didn't get translated. Drives a pastor nuts having to try and figure out what he's saying. But through all of that, he guides us along in realizing something. That it was not just that Jesus is the holy, spotless Lamb of God, the one without any sin, who offers himself as that holy and spotless sacrifice for the sin of the world. He does it with absolute and perfect faith. That as he hangs on the cross and says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Notice he says, "My God, my God." He speaks words of faith. It is words of prayer. Jesus is bringing to that place of darkness the ultimate place of darkness, the darkest 3 hours in the whole history of the universe, he brings to that place the words and promises of God. He brings the words and promises of God there for every human being who has ever had times of darkness in our lives. And here comes Jesus with the words and promises of God straight to the darkness, so that everybody who is going through dark times can hear the words and promises of God once again offered, held out, and given to them. He brings the words and promises of God to that place where there's not only darkness around, but darkness within. And he does that for every one of us who has a dark corner of the soul, a place where there is doubt or questioning, where there is uncertainty about where we stand with God. Those corners where our sins seem to rise up and accuse us. He goes to that darkness with the words and promises of God, so that the words and promises of God can come to us full force, promising life and forgiveness and salvation and belonging to God. That's what Jesus does. That's what he means by, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." Because he's carrying the words and promises of God back to us. For us who wandered from God. And it started very early on, didn't it? When our first parents said, "Oh, here's words and promises of God, but there's somebody else who has other words and promises. We'll go follow him." He's offering fruit. And so they wandered off and separated from the words and promises of God. There's uncertainty, unseeing, not knowing where they stand with God, only knowing that they have walked away from a loving God. They got to hear the words and promises of God when everything was good and beautiful and walked away from it. Jesus gets to hear the words and promises of God when everything has gone wrong, when everything around him and in him is involved and wrapped up in the experience of being crucified and judged. When the wrath and the judgment is raining down on him, that's the time when he grabs hold of the words and promises of God and says, "Here I am bringing it back to lost humanity, so that anyone, anywhere, going through any of those things can look at Jesus and say, 'There, the words and promises of God were carried by Jesus and brought back to me.' He holds out forgiveness and life and salvation, and he makes it mine there in the darkness." Why does he do this? Because he is the good shepherd. That's what the good shepherd does, to go and be with his sheep and bring them back. Is there more? Yeah, there's more. What he does in all of that is he takes this thing called faith. What is faith? Faith is to believe the words and promises of God. And the letter to the Hebrews says, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of the glory of God. He's the author, the inventor of this thing that is to believe the words and promises of God. You know, faith has a positive and a negative side too. Positive side is believing the words and promises of God. Very simple. The negative side is believing the words and promises of God in spite of, in the face of all of the challenges. And Jesus takes it right there. So that you and I, so that we can know that the words and promises of God in Jesus Christ, life and salvation, eternity, belonging to God, being His children, being welcomed by God, and having Him hear our prayers and love us, that we can know that all of that is given to us. That's what Jesus has done. Why has He done it that way? Because He's the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd goes to where His sheep are because they need the Good Shepherd to come to them. They can't find their way back home. He has to come to them. Is there more? Yeah. There's one more part. And as He does this and holds this all out to us and gives it as a gift to us, what's He say to His disciples? He says, come follow Me. And set into the context of, what's that mean, come follow Me? Yeah, it means faith. Come follow Me. Come walk with Me with words and promises of God that we'll believe together. And now the whole Christian life is what? It's just following Jesus with the words and promises of God shared. And the call and the promise and the invitation and the telling us that we are loved and the forgiving of sins and then walking with us and inviting us and saying, come follow Me. And where does the come follow Me lead to? Eternal life. When does the come follow Me end? Trick question. It doesn't. And how sweet it is to be a Christian and have this Good Shepherd as my Good Shepherd. That's just simply amazing. In Jesus' name, amen.